The epistle of 3 John, beginning in verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us. And again, Lord, your blessing. You've enabled us to have the strength to be here this morning, and we're thankful for that. Honored, Lord, that you have helped us in this. And then, Lord, if you would please now, as we preach the Bible, I would ask that you would add, please, your power and your blessing to your words. Guide this preacher's mind, dear God, I pray, Lord, that I'd say the things that would be the right thing to say and, Lord, accurate in the scriptures, and that would be an encouragement and a challenge, dear God, to God's people. And, Lord, that the gospel would also go out with strength today, and it would minister to the hearts of those that may just need to hear the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to kind of look at verse number 4, but then we're going to go and preach through the epistle. We're going to look at every phrase in this epistle that contains the word truth. Now, verse 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I want to help you with this. Sometimes, because of the world that we live in and because of the changing times, it seems like that even the truth... sometimes we feel like Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth, or what is truth? And it seems like there's been an attempt to even change what the truth is. The truth is being turned into a lie, and the lie is sometimes being turned into the truth. So to help you to know what we're talking about when we speak about the truth, I'm going to take the word truth this morning, and I'm going to identify it with an individual, a certain person. Then I'm going to take the word lie in introduction. I'm going to identify that with a certain person. Now, you're thinking, aren't you, Christians? Who and only who can we take the word truth and identify with that word and always be right and always be accurate? Who would that person be? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you see the phrase, the truth, I want you to think about Jesus Christ. I promise you we're doing no harm to Scripture when we do that as we study through this. Now, the Bible also says that there is somebody else that is associated with the thought of a lie or being a lie, even is called a liar, not only a liar, but is accused by God of being the father of all lies, and that person would be... All righty. Now, preacher, how do I know... what is the truth? Well, you take the truth. You say, I think this is true, but I'm not sure. You take that truth and you line it up alongside the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that will happen is Jesus will either say amen to that and you'll know it's the truth, or he'll say, or he will expose it for what it is, a lie. Now, of course, the way that we say, preacher, where's Jesus Christ at? Where can I line it up against Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning was in the beginning with God. And so God has given us the Bible, who is the written Word, to represent the living Word, Jesus Christ. And so if I think something's true, and I go to the Bible, and I lay it up against the Bible, and the Bible says something opposite than that, then I know that that is not true, that it is a lie, because the Bible says, let God be true, and every man a liar. Now, get this, young people, get this. I want you to get this truth this morning. You're going to be told a lot of things in life. Somebody's going to come to you and say, well, this is okay. And you're going to say, well, I wonder if they're telling the truth. Now, some of you just make the decision based on who it involves. I can't afford that luxury. I'm sorry. I've got to stand before God one of these days and answer for what I preach from this pulpit. I can't let personalities influence my preaching. I can't let people's decisions, even people that I care about deeply, I can't let their decisions influence what I proclaim from the Scriptures. Now, while somebody's saying, this is okay, or this is true, or this is fine, I think you need to lay it upside the Scripture and see if the Scripture says amen to that or not. And if the Scripture doesn't say amen to that, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, young people, listen, you're going to be presented with some options here this morning. There is the truth. There is a lie. Jesus is the truth. Satan is the lie. He's the liar. And so we're going to take a look at this. Now, preacher, I thought you were going to preach a Mother's Day message. I am. Did you see what it said in the fourth verse there? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children do what? Walk in truth. I'm going to preach on this subject, no greater joy. Or how do you bring great joy to your mother or to your father or to anyone that has an interest in you? How do I bring great joy to my mother? Now, first of all, let me draw your attention, if I can, to verse number 3, and we're going to break this down for you. Let's get into the Scriptures this morning. Number 1, great joy comes when we see our children accept the truth. Great joy comes when we see our children accept the truth. For I received greatly, verse 3, when the brethren came and testified, notice this, of the truth that is in thee. Now, when I say the phrase the truth, you're thinking about who? All right, if I say the lie, you're thinking about who? All right, now let's keep that in mind. Let's read that again. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. You know what this is speaking about? This is speaking about the testimony that these people had that Jesus Christ was their personal Savior, that they had accepted Christ. Now, young people, you know one of the ways that you can make mama happy? Listen, great joy comes when we see our children accept the truth. No mama in here wants to watch their children believe the lies of the devil. I pray that that's true. I'd like to say that that's true. I'd like to say there's not an exception to that. But I don't think any well-thinking mother or father wants to see their children grow up and listen to the lies of the devil and believe the lies of the devil and accept the lies of the devil. Every single parent in here that's a Christian, and you know what, even if you're not born again, if you want to see your children go to heaven, wouldn't you want them to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? And you talk about a joyful thing. I got a phone call last Sunday night, and I want to share the testimony of this, and then you'll see the fruits of it in just a minute, but very exciting. Of course, we had the unusual service last week, and we had the people that were saved. Didn't really know till Sunday night when we gathered, took some time to find out who was saved where, but got the report that 34 people had received Jesus Christ as their Savior in the morning services. And then that night, a little girl came forward and received Christ as her Savior right here in the evening service. So I thought, well, that's 35. What a great Sunday, Lord. I didn't really, when it comes to that, don't pray for a specific number. I just pray that God would just speak to people's hearts and bring conviction and make the gospel clear. But I got to drive home thinking, my goodness sake, that was a wonderful Sunday. Then I get home and I sit down in my recliner, and my recliner just kind of reaches around and grabs a hold of me, you know. Did you all feel the same thing I felt when you got home Sunday night? And my cell phone started buzzing, and I'm gonna confess something, and I'm sorry to confess this, but at that moment in time, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to answer the phone. I just wanted to sit there in a coma, you know, and just vegetate. And then the preacher part of me kicked in, and guilt kicked in, and I thought, good night, someone needs something, might be an emergency. And I look, and it's Jeff Scales, and Jeff doesn't just call me for any reason, so I answer, and I say, Brother Jeff, what's going on? What's going on? I always worry as a preacher, you know, something maybe happened, maybe there's an emergency. He says, you can add one, and I don't know what he's talking about. My brain is so tired, and it's mush. You can add one, and I said, what are you talking about? And he began to tell me about Sammy. He said, Sammy came home. Who's Sammy, Sunday school teacher? Who is Sammy, Sunday school teacher? Elizabeth? Well, Sammy came home talking about the Sunday school lesson that she heard in Sunday school and about the three crosses, the Jesus in the middle and the two other crosses. And one of those men that hung on a cross made one decision and one made another decision. And the one that called upon Christ and trusted Christ went to heaven. The other one that didn't went to hell. And she began to cry and say, Daddy, I'm not saved. I'm like that thief that's never called on Jesus. I need to be saved. And by this time, Jeff's crying and I'm crying and he's rejoicing. You know why? Because one of his children accepted the truth. And I think little Sammy's going to be baptized this morning. Is that right? And boy, isn't that exciting. Now, every parent in here, as I was telling that story, you're probably going back and you remember when your son was saved or when your daughter was saved. And there's nothing quite like that. Listen, young people, let me just encourage you. I don't want you to do it just for mama. I want you to do it for Jesus. And I want you to do it for your own safety and your own. And listen, if you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved today. You need to be saved today. And so there's no greater joy, I don't think, that a parent, a mama, daddy can experience than watching and seeing our children accept the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the only thing this chapter tells us about the truth, though. Notice, if you will, in verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I, what's that phrase say? I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. Now, preacher, what is he talking about? Here is the Apostle John. He's writing another brother, and he says that I love you, but I don't just love you. I love you in the truth. Now, remember when we say the word the truth, we make that phrase, we're talking about who? If we mention the lie, we're talking about who? Let me ask you, are you believing a lie or are you believing the truth this morning? Have you accepted a lie or have you accepted the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life? But once you accept the truth, once you accept Jesus Christ, guess what? You then are gifted with something that's amazing. Now look up here. One of the real benefits of being saved is what it does to your heart. Because all of a sudden, you have the ability to love through Christ. Now the Bible talks about two different kinds of love. Okay? If you read the Bible and study the Bible and look at the root words in the Bible, you'll see that the Bible talks about two different kinds of love. There's what they call a phileo love, and then there's an agape love, okay? Now, everybody here that's born of man has the ability to love in a phileo sense. But you know what? Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior have an ability to love on a supernatural level or a heightened level, because the love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost that's given to us. One of the fruits of the Spirit, the first one listed, is love. Now, mama, I believe this is true of every mama in here. I believe that you love your children. There's no doubt about it. There's no arguing it. You have at least a minimum phileo love. But you know what? Until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not the ability to love as God loves. Because that's a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, one of the great things about getting saved is all of a sudden we can experience something else, something beyond just natural man's love. All of a sudden, we have the supernatural presence of the Spirit of God. Great joy is experienced when we begin to share the ability to love in truth, to love through Jesus Christ. Let me sell this to you if I can. You know what? This morning, there's some families in this auditorium that could be revolutionized if your family would just get saved. You know what? We're taught as husbands in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, sir, let me just tell you the honest truth. You do not have the ability to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be well-intentioned. You can be well-meaning. I'm not saying you do not love your wife. I'm saying you don't have the ability to love your wife on a supernatural level. A lot of times married couples will get married, you know, and they were raised up in the world and the things of the world. And you know, they get married and they begin a home built on the foundation of what they know from the world and what the world's taught them. But let me say this, folks. I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ revolutionizes a marriage. He changes things. And you know what? Before you were saved, you loved your wife, but after you get saved, you have the ability to love her in a way that you never had before. You know why? Because the truth now indwells you. Christ's presence indwells you. The sweet Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of love indwells you. And I've watched a young couple struggle, and I've watched a married couple struggle and battle and try to do the best they can. And then I've watched either the wife sometimes get saved first, and then we pray and the husband gets saved, or the husband gets saved first and we pray and the wife gets saved. And I'm telling you, God transforms that marriage. You know why? Because there's a great joy that's experienced in just sharing the ability to love. You know what? I've seen this thing happen with children and mamas. We said a minute ago, usually, and this happens sometimes, but not all the time. A lot of times, a mom and dad will get saved. And then God begins to bless them with children. And as the children are born, you know what? The parents get concerned. They begin to pray. Listen, they begin to pray that that child will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know what? That mother loves that child with a Christ love, with a God love. And that daddy loves that child with a Christ love and a God love. And the day comes, as we mentioned a minute ago, where the child, the gospel becomes clear and they come under conviction of sin. They know they need to be saved. And they receive Christ, and all of a sudden you see this relationship between the child and the parents begin to change. You know why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. It's shed abroad in the hearts of the daddy and in the mama and the children. And there's a sweetness in that family. There's a love in that family. But I'll tell you this, that's not always the way it happens. Sometimes, and by the way, this is sometimes the workings of God, and this is just the way it is, and there's no shame in it. But you know, I can't tell you how many times a child or a teenager has come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And they're the first person in the family that gets saved. And you know what? Something changes in that child. And they've always loved their mom and they've always loved their dad. But all of a sudden, they have a God love. They have access to divine love, to supernatural love. And I can't tell you how many times I've watched a teenage girl, a teenage boy get saved, or a young junior age boy or girl get saved, and they'll come up and they'll begin to talk about their mom and dad, and they'll have a big smile on their face. You can tell their dad's their hero, and their mom, man, they think she's the queen of the world, and they love their parents, and all of a sudden now that's heightened, and they one of the things they'll come and say is they'll say, "Preacher, just pray for my mom and dad. You know what? They're good people and I love them dearly, but they just haven't been saved yet. And I want them to be saved." Sometimes a parent gets saved and begins to pray for a child until the child gets saved. Sometimes a child gets saved or a teenager gets saved, begins to pray for mom and dad until mom and dad get saved. Let me just say this. I don't care how it happens. It just needs to happen. You know, I watch families say, "You know what? We're going to do this without God. We're going to raise our kids without God. We're going to have a marriage without God." And they take off in that direction. You know what? They're well-meaning. I know they're well-meaning. But you know what? It's never going to have the sweetness. It's never going to have the success. It's never going to have the divine blessing. Listen, you watch married couples that are Christians. By the way, Christian married couples, this ought to be the testimony we're portraying. There ought to be a supernatural sweetness to that marriage. There ought to be a supernatural glow to that marriage. There ought to be a supernatural concern as a husband has for his wife and a wife has for her husband. There ought to be something God-blessed and anointed and God-touched about that relationship. There's nothing more exciting to watch God get in the middle of a family unit. All of a sudden, daddy gets saved, maybe prays mama into salvation, or the wife gets saved, prays the dad in salvation. Sometimes parents are both saved and they pray the children to Jesus. Sometimes kids get saved and they just won't let go. I'm going to tell you right now, there's young people in this room that's just dedicated to themselves to this idea. I'm not going to quit praying till my mama gets saved. I'm not going to quit praying till my daddy gets saved. I'm not going to quit praying till my grandma or my grandpa gets saved. Don't you give up hope. Don't you give up hope. They preacher, my heart's broken this morning. You know, my mom and dad's not saved. You know what? Maybe they've even promised a few times they'd come to church. It hasn't worked out. Preacher, I'm discouraged. Don't you get discouraged. You just get a hold of the throne of heaven. You just get a hold of God and refuse to let go. You just pray your mom and dad to Jesus. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You know, it's something. Remember before you were saved, some of you that were saved later on in life, remember how you resisted coming to church? You know, how you kind of resisted the whole religion thing? You thought it was just kind of a, you know, a little bit out there, you know, and people would invite you to church, and you're like, I don't know about that, and I don't think I fit in there, and all this stuff. And now you got saved, and you look back, because now you can see what it was before Jesus Christ, and you can see what it is after Jesus Christ. And you can say to yourself, you know what? The honest truth is, before Jesus came into our life, you know what? There was a struggle. There was a battle that went on that we didn't even understand that was going on in our family. You know why? Because we were listening to the liar. Because the liar was controlling things. Because the liar was dictating our decisions. But when we came to the truth of Jesus Christ, began to open this Bible and follow the Bible, all of a sudden the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. You get that? Great joy is experienced when we can share the ability to love in the truth. All right, let's talk about the next one. Look, if you will, in verse number 3. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Notice, if you will, in the last phrase in verse, that was verse 4, the last phrase in verse 3, even as thou walkest in the truth. So how do we experience great joy, Mama? How can we help our moms experience great joy? Listen, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then begin to love as Christ loved. And then, number 3, learn to walk in the truth. Great joy is experienced when we see our children walk in truth. Every Christian mom and daddy has this as their heart's desire. By the way, young people, I'm not going to holler at you and get mad at you this morning. Some of you are breaking your mama's heart. Look up here and listen. Some of you are breaking your mama's heart. No greater joy than to watch your children walk in truth. I'm not mad at you. I'm your friend. That's why I'm being honest with you. Some of you are breaking your mama's heart. You're not walking in the truth. You're not walking in the scriptures. You're not walking in the Word of God. You're not walking. You have no prayer life. You're very seldom in the house of God. You're breaking your mama's heart. Listen, I'll tell you this. There's a whole lot of happy parents in here, a whole lot of happy mamas and dads. You know why? Because they can look at their children and they can say, you know what? They're walking in truth. I don't have to worry about where they're going to be on Sunday morning. I know where they're going to be. I don't have to worry about where they're going to be on Sunday night. I know where they're going to be. When it's possible and they're not providentially hindered, that, you know what? The church doors are open. They're going to be there. I can go to their house. And you know what? There's a well-used Bible sitting there where they take the time to read the scriptures. And they pray. And you know what? They sit down and have a family meal. They don't just dive in like a bunch of pigs at a pig trough. You know, they bow their heads and their hearts, hold hands with their children and pray. And they're teaching their children about God. Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Great joy is experienced when we see our children walk in the truth, walking in the Word of God, walking in prayer, walking in God's house. You know what? Me and my wife, we had an exhausting trip. I don't want to keep whining, but the airports and travel is no fun these days. So can I just whine a little about it? It's just not any fun this day. You know, I remember when travel used to be something exciting. Now it's just, they've taken about all the joy out of it, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a proud mommy and daddy that was at that college Friday night watching one of our daughters walk in truth. I remember when Tabitha was little. I'm going to tell a Tabitha story this morning, okay? All right? But we taught our girls very early on that one of the first things they do in the morning is to open their Bible and have devotions, you know. And that's just, we taught them that. And as soon as we could teach them to do it on their own, they did that. And we taught them that. I remember one time Tabitha went to bed early. And what she used to do, they used to have bunk beds. Be Hannah on the bottom bunk, Tab on the top bunk. And then Amanda was over in the penthouse suite. That's her own separate room that is always, you know, owned by the oldest child, the one that gets everything. And she was on the top bunk. And what she would do every morning is when we come in and wake her up, she'd turn a little light in there on her bed. And before she'd ever get out of her top bunk, she'd open her Bible and she'd do her devotions. And one night, we'd put her to bed, and she'd been in there about an hour, and she was coughing. I don't know how old she was here. This had been when she was maybe 9, 10 years of age. And she kept coughing and coughing. I finally told Cheryl, you know, I'm going to have to wake her up and give her some cough medicine, or she's going to just cough all night. And so I went in there, and I started to wake her up, and I woke her up. She come out of a deep sleep. She was coughing, and I was getting the bottle ready and the spoon ready, and so next thing I know, she flips her light on, and I thought, well, that's helpful. I can see what I'm doing now, and I'm getting all this. This is why moms usually do all this stuff, because dads aren't too smart, you know, and I was getting the cough medicine ready, and I turned around to give her a cough medicine. Well, when I woke her up, she thought it was morning, and she'd only been to bed about an hour. And she turned her light on, and I looked up. She's got her Bible open, and she's just reading her Bible. And I said, honey, no, here, I've just woke you up. It's not morning yet. I'll give you cough medicine. And she took her medicine, shut her Bible, turned her light off, laid back down. And I'm going to tell you something that gave this preacher's joy heart, a heart some joy. I remember I turned the light back off, and I knelt down beside her bed. And I said, God, I pray, dear God, that all of her life, the first thing that she'd reach for every morning would be the Word of God. I watch young people that are raised in this church, and you know what? You're given all the resources, all the love, all the teaching, everything that you need to go into life and live for God and serve God and love God. Your mama's rooting for you. Your daddy's rooting for you. Your preacher's rooting for you. All your Sunday school teachers that invested you are rooting for you. But you're going to have to decide whether you're going to walk in the truth or walk in a lie. You're going to have to decide whether or not, well, I'm a Christian. I've accepted the truth. Well, you can accept the truth and not walk in the truth. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to believe a bunch of lies or you're going to believe the truth. And so walk in truth. You know why? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but it sure gives your mama great joy. Number four, if you'll notice, down in verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Great joy is experienced when we see our children become fellow helpers to the truth. To who? The truth. Who are you thinking about? Now this is exciting. You receive the truth. Then you have the ability to love like you never loved before. Then you start walking in the truth by reading your Bible and praying, attending God's house on a regular basis. And then you get to the point where you want to be a fellow helper in the truth. You know what? There's a bunch of happy mamas in here today. I think it's great. By the way, Brother Dutry said something when we were sitting right up there during our Bible conference. He was looking out. He'd spent a day or two here. He looked around and leaned over to me. He said, you know what? This church has a great future. I said, Brother Dutry, why do you say that? He said, because of the number of young adults that you see around here that you can obviously tell. They're here. They want to be here. They're busy serving the Lord in this place. You know what, folks? It's just not children and teenagers that give a church a future. I think children and teenagers give a church a potential future. But young adults are the ones that give them that future. You know, they've endorsed the check. They've cashed it. They've not just listened to wisdom, they've acclimated it. They've taken it. And I was sitting there thinking about what Brother Dutry said when I seen Nathan get up this morning and sing. And I thought, you know what? There are some young adults and some young couples around this church that have said, you know what? We have been taught the truth. We've been taught to love in the truth. We've been taught to walk in the truth. We want to now preach here. Hey, preacher. Preacher, we want to be fellow helpers in the truth. There's mamas in here who had children. I'm going to have you wave at me a minute. You had children out on the bus routes this morning. If you were a mama and you had one of your children out on a bus route this morning, would you wave at me? Just wave at me. Those are happy mamas. There's mamas in here that watch their children now. Take a group of children and take off to a Sunday school class with them. Maybe as a teacher, maybe as a helper. Are you there? Are you there? Did you watch that this morning? Didn't that make you happy? There's parents that are watching their children serve the Lord. They can show up over here at teenage visitation on Wednesday and they can watch their children. They can watch their children get on a bus and go out in the streets and knock on doors and witness. Fellow helpers to the truth. Now, young people, you've got to make a choice. But I promise you, part of what that result of that choice is what you're going to do to your mama's heart. Preacher, I don't think that's the best reason. I don't know if it is or not, but that's a pretty good reason. I know everything that I do ultimately I ought to do for the glory of God, but I'm also glad that it makes that lady right there a joyful lady. I'm glad she didn't have to weep one night this past year over the sinfulness or a wrong public decision made by her son. She didn't have to sit in church and brush away tears wondering where her child is that night. I want you to decide to be a fellow helper. Hey, young people, we've got a lot of jobs around here that need done yet. Oh, we don't have everything covered. Are you kidding me? Not only do we not have everything covered for the jobs we have, but we don't even have everybody recruited for the things that I'm thinking of doing that we haven't even started yet. So, you know what Jesus said to his disciples? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth what? Laborers, fellow helpers to the truth. We need some 17, 18, 19, 20, 20-year-old, 20-something-year-old energy around here. It says, preacher, I'm not everything I ought to be, and I'm not even saying I've always made all the right decisions. But you know what? My heart's in a good place now, and I know it's time for me to get busy serving the Lord. I'm as right with God as I know to be. By the way, stop worrying about the past. Just focus on the future. You put all that past under the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you worry about that. You go forward from where you're at. Preacher, is there somewhere I could plug in around here? Is there somebody? I'm going to tell you, there's something amazing. I said this the other day to somebody. We were talking about the bus ministry, and I believe, listen, if you took Jerry Ross right now, 47 years old, and you made a bus captain out of him, and you put him against a 27-year-old Jerry Ross as a bus captain, I can tell you who's going to bring the most kids in. The 27-year-old could visit three houses while the 47-year-old was trying to get out of the car to get to the first house. Amen. Some of you, amen. Ryan, Brother Terry, Sister Terry, Brother John, amen. You know, you're watching those teen workers run to the door. You're thinking, if I was the runner, there's no running. No, you know, there's no puddle jumping. I mean, there might be a puddle splash, but there's no puddle jumping. Man, you've got youth. You've got energy. You've got parents that have labored and prayed and prepared for you. You've got a church that loves you and poured some things into. And you know what? You've got endless possibilities. How about deciding, listen, I accepted the truth, and I have learned and been taught to love in the truth, and I've been taught to walk in the truth. It's time to become a fellow. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Happy, happy, happy. Every Sunday morning, happy, happy, happy every Sunday morning. Tabitha sent me a picture the other day. She's out on Saturday visitation. She won a little girl to Jesus Christ. I told her next year I want her to do this. Every time she wins somebody to Christ in California, since I'm not there. You know, this crazy technology. My phone rings, I think I got a call. It tells me I've got a text. They tell me I got a text. And then I go to open the text, and it's not a text. It wants me to push another button because it's some kind of something else. And so I push it, and there's a picture of my daughter in California that she just took. Now, most of these girls around here, if you notice, half the time they're walking around with their arm like this. You know, because they're taking pictures of something with somebody. And so she just won this little girl to Christ. Just won this girl on her bus route to Christ. And she said, hey, come here, I want to take a picture with you. And then she shot it to that, emailed it, texted it, tweeted it. I don't know what she did, but she got it to my phone somehow. And I was able to open it. And that's exciting. That's a good day when I opened it. And I'm looking. And there's a picture of my daughter with this little girl underneath that she typed. I just won this little girl to Christ, and I wanted you to see her daddy. You don't think I spent some joy? You don't think I spent some joyful moments there? You know what? In Virginia, I've got a daughter and a son-in-law that go to church, and they don't go there and sit. They go there and serve. This morning, I've got a middle daughter that's on the other side of the camp. By the way, folks, it's not because me and Cheryl are anything. This is not a brag session. We understand if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. You know me. I mean, if there's ever a guy that had the potential to mess up kids, come on. I mean, think about it. You imagine being a daughter in my house? I mean, it's amazing they even believe in God, you know. But here they are. Here she's over there with her husband and they're planting. Listen to me. You want to make mama happy? Get busy serving the Lord. You've been taught the truth. You say that you've accepted the truth. If you haven't, get saved this morning. By the way, you'd be surprised how much different you look at everything around here when you're saved. So get saved. Might change your perspective on a lot of things. But then not only that, begin to be a fellow helper in the truth. Let me give you the last thought, and we're done. Verse 12 then. There's a good man. By the way, I won't say a word about him. There's a bad man in this letter, Diotrephes. There's a good man. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth. Here's a man that had a good report, a reputation for being true to the truth. Great joy is experienced when we see our children remain in the truth. Sometimes we sadly do watch some of our young people that are raised in it and say they've accepted it and have been taught to love in it, whether they got it or not, have been taught to walk in it, whether they did it or not, had a chance to be a fellow laborer, whether they took it or not. But sometimes we don't watch our young people remain in the truth. I want to say a big thank you to every single young person in this room that don't get a lot of fanfare and you don't get a lot of mention, but the honest truth is you bring joy to your mom and dad's heart every single day of your life. You know why? Because you've stuck with it. You have a reputation for being true to the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. You haven't listened to the lies. You've stayed off those social networking places where a bunch of backslidden, used-to-be Christians get on and scoff and make fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get off that nonsense. Don't, by the way, don't put that poison in your head. Get away from them deadbeats. You start hanging around those places, a bunch of used-to-be, has-beens, maybe never was, making fun of old-time religion. You stay away from those people. You just stayed pure of heart, pure of mind. I'm not saying that your race was perfect or without a fall. I'm just saying, you know what? You've got up and you said, a just man falls seven times, rise up again. Okay, I've made some mistakes, but I'm going to serve God. Every single day of your life, you know what? You're building a reputation of being true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That makes Mama happy. That makes Mama happy. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you would take what we've taught this morning and bind these truths to our heart. Lord, John wrote, and I understand the context of it. Lord, I understand this was a preacher talking about his converts. I know that these were spiritual children, Lord. I'm aware of what we read and what we studied and what we taught. Lord, it's certainly true of physical parents, Christian parents. No greater joy. Oh, I've watched happy daddies and happy mamas. I've watched them rejoice because their children accepted Jesus and learned to love Christ. Love is Christ's love, and learn to walk in the truth and learn to be fellow helpers. And to this day, they're remaining in the truth and the joy and the happiness that it brings a mom and a daddy. Thank you, dear God. I pray, Lord, that every young person would give that gift to their parents. Decide that they're on the Lord's side. That they're going to believe the truth. That they're going to be true to the truth, loyal to the truth, to serve the truth. By serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the spotlight's been shined on the devil this morning some. He's a liar. He's a father of every lie. He's whispered in the ear of many a young person, tried to get them to turn from the truth, try to make them to feel that they have found a better way, that they're smarter because they have turned their back and looked on disdain towards those that have dedicated their life to Christ. I pray, Lord, that there would be a turning today. Yes, because of Jesus. Yes, for their own sake and their own future's sake. But Lord, also, I pray that some young men and some young ladies that just simply love mom and love daddy enough to do right. Lord, we preached this morning about the way different people come to Christ. And Lord, maybe there's a mom and a dad in here that's praying for a child to be saved. And Lord, if that is so, I pray, Lord, that that child would get saved today. Maybe there's a child praying for a mom or a dad to be saved. I pray that that mom or dad would get saved. And I pray, Lord, that whoever it is that might be in our midst, whoever it might be, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation in their life. Our heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me just quickly say to you, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know what that's like. I know what it is to walk into a church house lost. I know what it is to sit and listen to the gospel. I know what it is to feel convicted of my sin and God drawing my heart and knowing that I need to make a decision. I know what it is. Thankfully, I know what it is to leave my pew and walk to the front of a church and say, I need to be saved. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that invitation. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Have you been able to lay your head on your pillow at night, knowing for sure that you don't have to worry about eternity. You can look back on the timeline of your life, and you can see that place, that time, where you came under conviction of sin, understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, turned to Christ, put your faith and trust in Him. Folks, 36 people last Sunday made that decision, either here at the church or right after the church services. 36 people made that decision. Some of those are going to be baptized this morning. If you're here and you've never been saved, you can be saved this morning. Preacher, what do? I know that I need to be saved. I know that I do. In just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet. Not yet, but just a minute. We're going to stand to our feet. We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here without Christ, there's two men here waiting at the front. If you'll come up here, they'll greet you. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll get a man. If you're a young person, they'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Don't put it off. You know what? The best thing, Mama, that you can ever do for your children is to be saved. And let me say this to the children. The best thing that you can ever do for your mom and dad is to get saved. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, please do a work of grace in all of our hearts, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.